So our text for today is going to be Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. So if you could turn there. And if you're able, would you stand while I read the Word of God in your hearing? Honor God as we stand together and listen to His Word. And then we'll see if we can understand a little bit better together as we discuss these six verses. Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. And it reads this way. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Amen. Our Father, we need your help now.
Yes.
So would you meet us in the Scriptures? Would you meet us now as the Word of God is open before our eyes, and our hearts are open before your eyes? You see and you know everything, and you know what we need. And so speak, Lord. Your people listen. We ask you today to work effectively in the heart of those who believe and those who do not. Bring to yourself a lost sheep today for your own glory, and establish and edify those who belong to you for your own glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I want to kind of give you some perspective about the book of Job as we begin together. First of all, I'll say it this way. The book of Job helps us understand human suffering. Okay? And particularly for the Christian needs to understand that believers suffer likewise. And we shouldn't consider it an odd thing when you and I not just suffer a little, when we actually have very severe difficulty in life. That the Bible is given to us for us to see that you're not the first, and that you and I, if Jesus tarry, won't be the last to suffer. And so the good thing about the book of Job is you not only see it from the human perspective, you get to see suffering from the divine perspective likewise. And this is amazing. You don't think of it, but you actually get to see some of what's happening, not just in the spiritual realm, but actually in heaven. When it comes to suffering. And particularly, again, suffering of a believer. The book also reveals that God rules over Satan. Satan does not have the freedom to do whatever he wants to whomever he wants to. Okay? In particular, when it comes to a believer, God measures out any influence that Satan has in your life, particularly harmful and destructive influence. But here's the point. Even though God rules over Satan, Satan still has the, by God's permission, has the power to cause some very serious harm.
Amen. Yeah.
Not just to unbelievers, but to believers. God rules him, but he still causes some very serious, physical, not just spiritual problems, but very serious physical problems to humanity
even Christians.
Now, this is important when you think about some of the theology that's being floated around nowadays. You have to read the Bible and not just let people tell you how to handle Satan. Okay. The book of Job reveals that God is wise beyond measure.
Yeah.
Right? God is so much wiser than the friends you seek out when you're hurting. The book of Job says to us, it doesn't dissuade us from seeking counsel and help, but the book of Job reveals to us that when you've gotten your advice and help from people, God is the ultimate source of wisdom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Particularly when you're hurting and you're looking for answers. So that's the reason, the wisdom writer would say, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Don't try to figure out your suffering. And the book of Job says that to us. If you read the book, the book of Job ultimately says to us, stop trying to ask people why you suffer. Stop trying to get somebody to figure it out for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in their understanding or your own. Because both of you are probably wrong. That's the way it was with Job, right? and again, we read these accounts to learn from them, right? It's given for our learning. And then finally, I thought it'd be good for us all to remember that God didn't have an issue with Job.
Amen.
God was satisfied with Job. And so no Christian needs to assume that just because you're going through an extremely difficult time that there's got to be something wrong. I'm not dissuading or discouraging anybody. You ought to do soul searching. You ought to search your life. But you shouldn't assume that just because you're having problems that there's got to be some major sin. Okay? There are many other lessons to learn, but I just want us to start there with these fundamentals as we look at the book. God was satisfied with Job's life. Right?
Amen. Amen.
And so God can be satisfied with your life, and you can be severely hurting.
Amen.
Severely. Look at his own son. Right?
Amen.
And we follow him. Jesus suffered severely and had done nothing wrong. So, I kind of divided my thinking up this way. The first 31 chapters of Job, I call it, this is looking at suffering from a self-centered perspective. Okay? And I'll show you what I mean by that in just a minute. But just, I want you to, because it's going to be a real broad overview, but I want to show you how suffering can cause Job, and it causes you and me to turn inward.
Yeah.
It produces a self-centered perspective on suffering. And then ultimately, when we get to chapter 42, it's what I call a God-centered perspective in suffering. All right? So let's look at it real quick. Now, when you look at the first 31 chapters of Job, and I know that there may be some that are not familiar with the book of Job, and so I would just encourage you to go back and read it, because obviously I'm not going to have time to cover the whole book. In this case, you'll listen to the story, and then you go back and you can read it for yourself if you're not familiar, right? In the first 31 chapters, what you see is loss and misery, pain and agony, okay? And so what you'll learn, if you haven't read it, and what you know if you have read it, is that Job was tested severely in these first 31 chapters. You know, he lost his children, he lost his health, he lost the loyalty of his wife, the loyalty of his friends, he lost his reputation. This misery. This man is going through real misery. And I would caution anybody, before you start judging Job, we're going to try to enter into some of it here today. And it's not going to be pleasant. Because I think some of you have brushed over some of the real pain in the book of Job, okay? And if you're squirmish, it's going to be difficult for you because we got to talk about it.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Job's initial losses early on, it all happened in one day.
Yeah.
You know, you remember that? Right? Back to back, he's getting this bad news about losing all of his wealth. And your children just died. And just one thing after another. But the Bible shows that Job handled all of those initial losses graciously. Look at it. Look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And I'm just going to read the end of the account after he's gotten all of this bad news about his losses. The end of the account beginning, it's the last paragraph starting with verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then finally, verse 22, "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." He handled it graciously. But now, his suffering didn't stop after the first day. And this is the difficulty, not just for Job, it's for you and me too. Many of us handle the initial aspects of suffering graciously. But it's when it lasts longer than we thought, and it goes deeper than we thought, that's what causes the problem. Right? And so, I want you to, now you got to go with me, okay? You got to go. We have to feel a little bit of Job's pain. Okay, you gonna go with me? Even if you're squirmish, you gotta go. Okay. Then this is in the Bible. We're not reading a horror movie. See, when the Bible gives details, it gives it for us to feel. We got to feel some of this man's pain. This isn't a Steven Spielberg movie. You see, Hollywood didn't write the script and you go and put fake issues on stars. This is a real man, a real believer, a man who trusted God, and he's had these real problems. Now, the other losses in Job's life took a much longer period of time. Okay? A much longer period of time. And you see Job then... You see him, you see the misery increase, and you see Job eventually reach a point of discouragement. And that's what happens when your problems last longer than you thought, and they're worse than you thought, and you're not getting any relief. Could you turn to Job chapter 7? I'm going to show you a little bit of this. Look at verse 3 of Job chapter 7. "So I am allotted months of emptiness." You see it? It went on much longer than he thought. The first day he handled all right, but it didn't stop at the first day, or the second day, or the first week, or the second week. He says, "I am allotted months of emptiness, and nights of misery are apportioned to me." You got that? Look at verse 6. "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to their end without hope." The man is getting discouraged. Okay? Now I want to show you some of the reason why. Not only has Job suffered these losses when it comes to his wealth and his family and his friends, but his health. His health is a major, severe problem. You see? And you got to think with me, because health is a how shall I call it? All of us take some pride in health. All of us see advantages when it comes to health, even if you don't strive for it as diligently as others. It's a foolish person that tries to kill themselves. Right? I mean, when your body says something is wrong, you're foolish to not pay attention to it. And so health becomes a major problem for all of us. And when you're plagued with health problems, as Job was, it became intense, and it lasted longer than he thought. And here's where you got to go with me. I want to show you how intense his health problems were. Can you find Job chapter 2? Look at verses 7 and 8. So Satan went out. First, let me tell you what's happening here. You're going to see in these two verses that Job had these ulcers, or these cancers, or these sores on his skin. And it wasn't just one or two. They were all over his body. Okay? These pulsy distasteful ulcers. Yeah, verse 7 of chapter 2. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece, look at this, of broken pottery with which he scraped himself while he sat in the ashes. Scraped off the crust of these skin ulcers or cancers or sores. All over his body. That's all he could do is scrape them off. Okay? Listen, your Bible. Don't just read past it. This man had real suffering going on. And that's not the end of it. Okay, don't get squirmy on me. It's in your Bible. Can you find chapter 7? Job's skin began to rot. Okay? On his own body, he's looking at his skin rot. He's looking at worms in his skin. You still ain't getting it. Maggots. Now you look at your arm, and what you see in your arm and in your land and your leg in your body in your skin is maggots. No, you can't brush over this. This is a Christian. No, well, he's a believer. I mean, it's what you and I would call a Christian. You got chapter 7?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 5. So I don't want you to think, well, oh, I don't believe that. Well, look at your Bible. Look at Job 7 and verse 5. My flesh is clothed with what? Now, if your Bible may be more graphic, and it may say maggots, because that's it. It's clothed with worms and dirt. My skin hardens and breaks out afresh. Now, you got to get this picture. The body makes effort to heal itself, even the worst of sores, when it can. And so his body would make efforts to crust over these, whatever they are, these skin ulcers or cancers or whatever they are. The body would try to crust them over and try to get some relief, and then they break out again. That's what he's saying to you. When you think you're getting a little relief and they break out again, this man is in real misery. And then if that's not bad enough, you got chapter 7? Look at verse 4. He's got sleepless nights and he has nightmares. Now verse 4. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? But the night is long and I am full of tossing until the dawn. Drop down to verse 13. When I say, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions. Sleeplessness, nightmares. Extreme weight loss. I won't keep turning to it. Chapter 19 and verse 20. He says that my skin sticks to my bones. Okay? The brother is losing weight. Now, you're looking at your body, you see? You got to feel this. You're looking at your body that's dying right in front of your eyes. That's the reason you hear Job says, Lord, just take my life. Okay. Now you notice he never said that he'd take his own life.
Amen.
Even though his wife told him he should. You never find Job contemplating suicide. The Spirit of God is always in that believer. Even when you're at your lowest point. Right? There's always some hope. And then finally in chapter 30 and verse 30 is he's got this fever, this awful fever, said that his bones were burning. Now, I took that time because I wanted you to see that this brother was suffering. Then the other aspect of this self-centered perspective in suffering is that he got no answers, right? He got no answers. Job and you and me, all believers are looking for answers when you're hurting. So, you know, that shouldn't be anything strange to you to find that he's looking for answers. The problem, of course, came that he wasn't getting any answers, right? He didn't get any answers. His own friends came there, and they were falsely accusing him of sin, right? They said, you've got all this sin in your life. That's your problem. You got hidden sins that you won't confess. And you've been unjust to people. If you had taken care of people the way you should, imagine that. You're sitting there with all of this misery, this pain, your body is rotting away, and you're in agony, and all that your friends can do is accuse you. You see the man is in misery. The man's hurting. And that's if that's not bad enough, he's asking God, Lord, just give me a meet. Just let me meet with you. If I can meet with you now, then we're going to find in a minute that Job got out of bounds here. But he's pleading with God, and if I could just meet with you, if I could just hear from you, I'd plead my case. Okay? So not only is he doesn't get answers from his friends, he doesn't get any answers from God. And so Job is frustrated, he's confused, he's discouraged, and he's angry. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. I loathe my life. I will give free utterance of my complaint. Now he's talking about prayer. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend against me. This man is hurting. Job's words and actions toward people and God were a result of his unrelenting misery and pain without any understanding. He just could not understand what was going on. Y'all remember last week I told you about my little scenario, my little episode in my car. For those who weren't here, Alvin and I were out Friday night trying to get some odds and ends together before the family got together for the Christmas gathering, and trying to make our way home, and made it back to Blockbuster, and car died. Right, you remember I told you about that, and so being the penny pincher that I am, I wanted to save money and fix the car myself. But it wasn't just penny pincher; I didn't have the money to go, put the car in the shop, so we're going to get the car home, and anyway, I won't take you through all the details. I decided that it's probably best to get a tow truck over, and the tow truck came over the next day, towed the car home, got the car in the garage, and tore up my driveway. Driveway busted up, and so I'm feeling like, Lord, here I am trying to save a few hundred dollars, and now I got thousands of dollars of damage. What's going on? I thought for sure I was doing what was right. I don't understand this. Don't understand this. Okay? And I know you got your own. So that's just the one. We've all got this. That's the most recent one. Right? And we've all got situations. And maybe none of them as severe as Job. But we've all got those situations where we didn't understand why. I thought I was doing what was right. I don't understand why I'm suffering this way. So we can relate to Job. But then the next thing, and this is where I want to spend about just a few minutes before we end. The next thing is, even though we can understand how Job got, how we get to a self-centered perspective in suffering, the goal is a God-centered perspective in suffering. Okay? You may know that after months of suffering, God finally spoke to Job. You remember the story? But you know what? He didn't give him any answers. God spoke to Job and asked him some questions. Job, you got all these questions of me. So God comes to Job and begins to ask him some questions, right? About creation and the universe. You remember children? You remember how we talked to you about being only concerned about your game and your TV when there are much bigger issues around? God had to bring this perspective to Job to help him to see that there were much bigger issues. And I see you. I see your suffering. Okay? That's what you need to know. I see you.
Yeah.
I got it. You're not going to tell me. So, Job, you don't have to have a face-to-face with me for me to know what's going on with you. Right? You know how foolish we can be. God must not see. I mean, my wife and I sitting out there with this dead car and all, everybody that could have taken us home is gone. We got to figure out how to get home now. Surely God doesn't see what's going on here. And so the first thing we see when God began to bring this God-centered perspective is just like with Job. Job had forgotten that God was in control. So the first thing that must come when you and I are suffering is we got to have understanding. You remember how our parents used to say, I'm going to shake you. I'm going to shake some sense into you. You know, God has to do that for us sometimes.
Right.
You know better than that. And you say, yeah, I do. Have you ever done that? I don't know what was wrong with me. And so Job gets understanding. Can you see, find verses 1 and 2? Go to Job 42, verses 1 and 2. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now, here's what I want you to grasp hold of. Job now sees that God is in control of everything, including his suffering. Not only does Job see that God is in control of everything, including his suffering, Job sees that everything has a God-ordained purpose, including his suffering. You see what he says? I know that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. It's not as if Job didn't know this, but in your suffering, sometimes you get so self-centered, you forget that there's a bigger purpose going on. And so God has to let you get to the point to where he shakes you. And you see that this thing is bigger than my thing.
Yes.
And so now Job understands that God is going to complete what he started with me in this whole deal months ago. And it really doesn't matter that I wanted him to cut it off short. God's not going to cut off short what needs to be completed. Whatever God started, he's going to complete. Job now realizes that I made a mistake by trying to get God to cut my suffering short. You listening to me, Chris? I made a mistake by trying to get out of this too soon. Because it's God who says, I am God and there's no other. Isaiah 46. I am God and there's no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I shall accomplish all my purpose. All of it. Nobody like me. Nobody can say that but me. But I'm going to accomplish everything I started. Every purpose I have is going to be done. Now Job can see what James was trying to teach us back in chapter 1. James says it this way, because those Christians were suffering. He says, count it all joy. when you meet but various trials of various kinds? Why, James? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance, right? But then he says, Christian, you gotta let steadfastness or endurance have its full effect. Don't try to stop the problem before God gets done with it. I know you want to get out. I know it's hard. I know it's hurting. But Christian, you've got to let God play it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You won't know how it's supposed to turn out if you keep wiggling and trying to get out.
Yeah.
God knows you're hurting.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. All of us know what Job's going through.
Yeah.
All of us know what it's like to want to get out of a difficult situation. But we also need to learn that we have to wait for God to finish the purpose.
Yeah.
Because James says, when God is done with you, you'll come out of this perfect and complete, lacking in what?
Nothing.
But you can't wiggle. Stop trying to get a loan and get it fixed. Just because you have a credit card and you can get easy. You see what I'm saying? We keep trying to fix it and you make it worse because God's purpose is not done. So no matter how much money you pour into it.
Yeah.
Until His purpose is done, you're not going to come out of it.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter how many doctors you visit. You see? Doctors couldn't help Job. Because this wasn't a doctor problem.
Yes, sir.
Some of us have got to realize the things we're going through. People can't get you out of it. You can't get you out of it until God's purpose is accomplished. So you, now listen to me. God revealed to Job that his issues were bigger than him. What Job was going through involved more than Job. Number one, come on now. You know a little bit about this. The first person that had to learn a lesson, he was Satan. Job didn't know that. Job didn't have any idea that all of this interplay and interaction was going on in heaven. But see, this issue is bigger than Job. And God had a purpose to be worked out in heaven, and Job was a part of it. Think of it. Little old Job. And he asked me, think, me? What in the world do I have to do with heaven? And what's going on, you see, in the spiritual realm? There are things going on that you and I don't understand.
Amen.
Not only that, Job's wife had to learn something.
Okay.
Why in the world are you telling your husband to commit suicide just because he's suffering? We don't even learn that lesson. We're not told about that lesson.
Amen.
His friends had to learn something.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You have been accusing this man for months. And now, unless this man forgives you and prays for you, you're not going to be here. That's what his friends have to learn. This hurting, suffering man is the one that's going to help you.
Yes, sir.
His friends had to learn, don't judge people.
Just because
you think you got one up on them. Don't go around judging people because you think they're out. Don't judge them because you think they can't come back. Not only that, y'all know who else had to learn a lesson? His neighbors. We're not told about him, but you know his neighbors knew what was going on. Job was a rich man. When you see a rich man lose everything, people know about that. They know about that. Not only that, think of all the folks that have read and heard about Job. All of them, including you and me, had to learn this lesson.
And if Job had gotten out of it before God's purpose was accomplished, you and I wouldn't be sitting here today talking about it. Job had no idea that centuries later, a group of folks would be meeting in St. Charles County talking about what happened to me when I was hurting and suffering and praying wrong. When I was complaining to God about what's going wrong with me, he had no idea that centuries later, some folks are going to get together and talk about my life and learn something from me. You don't know what God is doing with your pain. You don't know where it's going. You don't know. So stop wiggling and trying to get out of it. I'm talking to me. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking to all of us. This is a lesson for all of us to learn. And so, not only do we see some understanding here, but then you see humility that's worked out in Job.
Can you push that arrow down for me? Just the arrow.
You see
an arrow to the right? There you go. I'm going to need somebody. So we see this humility here, all right? That's being worked out in Job. The thing that you notice first is that God never told Job why he was suffering. Right? Never. Even though that's what he wanted to know. Even that's what you and I want to know. God is not obligated to tell you and I what's going on.
Okay.
Even though you want to know. Right? Another thing you notice is that Job accepted the fact that God's purposes were far beyond his ability to understand. Now, up to this point, Job thought this way. If I can just meet with God, I'll help him understand what's going on. Because God surely don't understand what's happening to me. There ain't no way God understands that I got maggots in my body. My body is rotting. My wife's turned against me. My friend. There's no way God can know this. So I need to meet with him. And then he finally had to realize that what I'm talking about is way beyond my ability to understand.
Yeah.
Right? Another thing that we notice is that what happened for Job is that he finally did have a real meeting with God. Even though it wasn't what he thought. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. If you can just have a real meeting with God, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Even though you think you want something else, just to have a real meeting with God. You see how, look at verse 5. He said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I'm not living on my grandparents' testimony or what the preacher said. Or the deacon said, I'm not living on the fact that somebody else says, I got delivered from, this thing. God took care of my financial problems. God took care of me and my children. And it's not somebody else's testimony. This is mine, because I had a meeting with God. See, suffering eventually becomes personal. That's what it always is. It's between you and God. Even though it's bigger than you, ultimately you got to set it between you and God. You got to be at peace with the fact that God's got this under control. It looks like it's out of control to me, but it's never out of control.
Amen.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
And you see, you remember we get the same scenario in the New Testament.
Yes,
you remember Paul had the thorn. Remember that thorn in the flesh? He said he pleaded with God in prayer 3 times for the thorn to be removed. And he didn't hear from God. Oh, we don't know how long this pleading went on. But finally the Bible says in verse 9, the Lord answered him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected not in your strength, but in your weakness.
Yes. Yes.
So stop asking me to take away the problem. I gave it to you to keep you weak. And when you're weak, then you're strong. Paul said, oh my goodness, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, thank you for speaking to me.
Yeah.
Now I'll most gladly boast about my weaknesses so that the power of God may rest upon me.
Yeah.
Folks can talk about me.
Yeah.
Folks can talk about me.
Yeah.
Talk about what I didn't get, how I didn't make it, where I live, and what I drive, but the power of God rests upon me. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Right.
Yeah. And believe me, they talked about Paul.
Yeah.
You sound like you're tough when you write letters, but when we look at you, you don't look good. You can't talk good. Talk about me.
Yeah.
Talk about me.
Yeah.
The power of God rests on me.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Brother, sister,
yeah,
you're gonna have to go through it to get good with it, to be at peace with it.
Right.
Stop trying to cut it short. I'm trying to say to you, stop trying to cut it short.
Yes, sir.
You know, after pleading and praying with God about my situation with my car. Now, see, this may not be a big deal to you, but you see what I'm saying? You have to deal on your own level. This is a big deal to me. To have a little old car that when I could have spent $400 or $500 to get it repaired, and now I got thousands of dollars of damage in my house, trying to save $300 or $400. Okay? And so after pleading and praying to God about that, he gave me peace about it. And then he helped me to start thinking. And God helped me to see, really? This is bigger than you and your driveway.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Well.
And so after I settled down, I began to see, think, why was I trying to get that car back home to my driveway? Well, it's because 40 to 45 years ago or so, my father took time to teach me how to work on cars.
Yes, sir.
And so this thing started years ago. Because if it hadn't, I would have called a mechanic the first place. My driver would have been fine. But God's promises had already started.
Yeah.
Way back before I understood what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it involved my father. And then he showed me it involves your wife. Because as soon as the problem developed, my wife took the initiative to go ahead and talk to the tow company because I was handling other matters. And so he says, that's the reason I gave you her.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
And then he says, as you begin to open this thing up to me, it also involved Billy McCulley. Because after I told you all, Billy McCulley advised me about how to fix the car. But then it also involved Ernest Whittier, because after I told you all about it, Ernest Whittier advised me about how to handle the driveway.
Okay.
But then that's not all. Then it involved my insurance company, because when I called them, they gave me advice about how to proceed. And I found out that my agent's a Christian. And then my building contractor comes over, and he says, you got an erosion problem. They didn't tell me this, but I never would have known it if the car had been in a mechanic's garage rather than my own. See, I'm trying to wiggle and get out of it. But God already knows you got a problem that you don't even know about.
Yeah. All right.
I started working on it 40, 50 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So that on December 23rd, you would respond the way you're supposed to,
uh-huh.
so I can show you what's going on.
All right.
Now stop wiggling.
Yes, sir.
And concerned about all the thousands of dollars that you're going to spend, I got it covered.
Uh-huh. All right. Come on. All right. Come on.
I ain't through.
Well,
and then the insurance company says, well, we're going to reimburse your towing fee.
Look at God.
See.
Yeah.
The builder says, yeah, that's our responsibility. And that's probably, I mean, I'm just telling you what little bit I see.
Okay.
Well, this is just what little bit I see. And so I know it's bigger than me.
Uh-huh.
This is just one little problem with a car.
Uh-huh.
Now you think about your own situation.
Uh-huh.
We've got to see that it's so much bigger.
Yeah.
Than what, you know, than us trying to squirm and get out from under pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not trying to imply to you that I understand it all. I'm just telling you I see a little bit of it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right? You understand?
Yes, sir.
So then, my brothers and my sisters, I'm saying to you that the natural response for any of us when we're suffering is to initially be self-centered.
Uh-huh.
None of us would argue with that, right?
Amen.
We naturally go to the next one, brother. We naturally want to know how long and how severe the suffering is going to be. We want to know what the outcome, right, is going to be. But while we are suffering, like Job, you know that we may get frustrated, right? We may get confused, we may get discouraged, and we might get angry. All of us know what that's like along the way. When it lasts longer than you thought, when it gets so much more intense than you thought. Frustration, discouragement, even anger. But also like Job, we must remember that God always has a purpose for any suffering that he either brings or allows in the life of a believer. There is always, always, always a purpose. And the purpose is always, always bigger. Therefore, we must humble ourselves. By the way, I ran past verse 6, and let me just say it to you. Y'all do notice that in verse, well, let me read it. Verse 6, Job humbled himself. He said, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So I'm saying to you and me, I don't know what you're going through right now, but stop kicking against God. Stop trying to wiggle out of it. Humble yourself, just like Job did, our brother Job. Repent and say, Lord, I spoke out of turn. Job realized I got into God's domain. When I start demanding to get an answer from God, I've gone way beyond where I'm supposed to be. So you and I need to back off. Repent, humble ourselves, and learn to wait. Right? Wait on God. You need to wait and see what the outcome will be. Because God is faithful. Right? This is a new year. It's filled with many opportunities and privileges. But we also know we're going to face lots of trials, lots of troubles, and lots of suffering. Therefore, let's keep each other encouraged this year as God works out his great purposes in our lives individually and collectively. Let's remind each other that God's purpose is bigger than us individually and it's bigger than us collectively. His purpose is not, whoa, this is an insight that God gave me. God's purpose is not even limited to our lifetime.
Come on, brother.
Just because you don't see what the outcome doesn't mean that God's done with it. I just told you a little bit of what I saw. That doesn't mean that that's near the end of God's purpose. You understand that? Just because he shows you a little bit doesn't mean that's it. That just means that's what I saw. Job saw a little bit. But look at this. There's no way he knew that hundreds of years later, people are going to still be learning from this experience. There's no way he can come in. So don't think that your experiences are limited to your lifetime. We do know with our brother Job that our purpose of God, that no purpose of God can be thwarted. And that was my point for the day. I know I've been longer than intended, but I want to encourage everyone that whatever purpose God has planned in your troubling situation, you can't stop it.
Amen. Come on, bro.
You read that?
Yes, sir.
Job had to learn that. It doesn't matter how you kick and scream and fuss and complain and get mad at God, get mad at folks around you. He, if you're a Christian, he's going to finish the job.
Amen. Mm.
So it's best to enjoy. You know, it's like I told Caleb, I saw it was okay, Caleb walking in, I thought Caleb got so much chest on him, like he's about to fall. but you see, that didn't happen naturally.
Uh-huh.
It took some work. And so you and I have to realize, God, when God is working on us, you can't rush that. You just got to wait on him to work it out. You see? Because his work takes time, but he's effective.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you and I have to really believe that God is causing all things to work together. Those that love him.
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Call according to this. We got to believe the Ecclesiastes writer when he says there's a time and a season for what? Everything. Cars breaking down, poor health problems, family problems, problems on the job, unemployment, all of it. There's a time for it all. And don't think it's going to miss you all the time. When it's your time, you just say, yes, Lord. Help me to be patient as you work it out.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, help me to be to follow James' advice and count it all joy.
Yeah.
When I meet with my trials. If you're not a Christian, I got some good news for you. This is the first day of a new year. This could be the first day of a new life for you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? For you to find new life on in a new year on the first day. Jesus has come to make that possible. And I pray and I trust that if you're not a Christian, that you will hear and understand everything we've talked about here today. Is we have hope because of him. It's because of him that we have confidence that God will complete his purposes because of him. And I hope that if you can hear me, not just my voice, but if you can hear God's calling you, that you will respond to him today
in obedience. Submit to him,
and he'll save you from your sins. Father, thank you for every act of mercy and grace and help that you've given to us. I thank you for this wonderfully patient congregation that has helped this poor speaker get through these matters of consideration. I pray that you would bring it all together and where I fail to communicate, would you make it clear to your people what you're saying to us? And then, Lord, work out effectively in us that we would submit ourselves as our brother Job did and find the great purpose that you're working out in our life. And I do pray that someone who doesn't know Christ would come to know that great purpose that you have for them. Save a soul today.